What's up, everyone, and welcome back to If the LGBTQ Community Wasn't So Loud, Would the Church Still Be Silent? I hope you all are having an amazing week. My name is Taisha Holt, and I express the gospel in a way that brings truth to the LGBTQ community and equip the church on how to effectively reach those that are influenced by the practice of homosexuality. Let's dive right into this episode, and I encourage you to go back and listen to previous episodes if you haven't already. In 2013, I became new to the gospel. When I started going to church, I assumed all church members, especially the pastors, understood the spiritual nature behind homosexuality. To my surprise, I learned very quickly that homosexuality seemed to be set apart from any other sin. Once people got wind of my testimony, I would always be asked the same question. How do we reach the LGBTQ community? A community that is committed to protecting its bias towards sin by protesting and shaming anyone who disagrees with them. At first, this question bothered me because I assumed if you can minister to an adulterer, a liar, a thief, or a murderer, how was reaching a person in homosexuality so different? I learned it was different because it wasn't properly understood. Most people in the church wasn't familiar with a person that lived a full-blown, depraved gay lifestyle, become so devoted to the gospel, being completely made new and set free from same-sex attraction and desires. My testimony piqued the interest of many to learn more. They saw evidence that a person can be set free from homosexuality and grew curious on what was the process like. So their questions were geared towards wanting to know more about the process of being delivered from that particular sin. After sharing my story in so many different churches across the world, I heard countless stories of people experiencing deliverance from homosexuality, but not being able to endure in their same-sex attractions enough to stay out. Or they all shared stories of backsliding or just going completely back into the lifestyle. Although they were in church, it was challenging for them to learn how to navigate through life without homosexual behavior and still be honest about their same-sex attractions. And the church wasn't equipped enough to teach them the process to gain a healthy balance. So I understood why the church asked so many questions, because they didn't have enough physical proof that a person could really be reached in homosexuality because they seen so many fail in the process, which caused a division amongst the church and the LGBTQ community. But see, on this podcast, we are going to dissect what homosexuality is and not what the world has made it out to be, in hopes that those of you that are listening can become a bridge to the gap between the LGBTQ community and the church. See, the church has a huge responsibility to the LGBTQ community, but we have to be educated first. And when I say the church, I don't mean a building. I mean every person that has confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that God rose Jesus Christ from the dead. You are the church. You are the temple of God. So even if you're not in a building, you still can be used to reach someone that is battling with homosexuality, or at least educate yourself enough to understand what homosexuality is. So what started the division between the church and the LGBTQ community? See, during the time the LGBTQ community was really gaining traction, the only thing people really understood was the sexual aspect of being gay, which caused lots of people, including the church, to only view gay-identified people through the lens of a man wanting to be sexually active with another man or a woman wanting to be sexually active with another woman, which put the church in a position to not gain the proper knowledge and tools because we only understood one aspect of the sin. And trying to understand the sexual aspect of homosexuality can be very disturbing for a person that doesn't share that same emotion. So let me help you with that thought. Homosexuality is not about sex. It stems from a deeply rooted identity issue. When guiding a person out of homosexuality, you don't have to teach them how to stop having sex with someone of the same sex. It's not the root of their issue. Homosexuality is not an attack on someone's sexual preference. It's an attack on their identity. So if we practice to remove sex from our thought process when it comes to the LGBTQ community, it will make it easier to view it through a different lens. So what really started the gay rights movement? What is the root of what we're seeing today? During my time studying the Bible and reading about the history of homosexuality, I ran across something I never heard, even when I was involved in homosexuality. I found this very profound story about the Stonewall Riots. See, if we want to learn how to reach the LGBTQ community, we have to learn the history behind it and what all started the gay rights movement. and how we as the church gotten it wrong and played a huge part in causing the division amongst us. On June 28th, 2024, will mark the 55th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. The Stonewall Riot was like the catalyst for the gay rights movement. Back in 1969, there were two gay-identified males who were at a gay bar in Greenwich Village, also known as Stonewall Inn. These two men grew tired of being harassed by people they were in community with and the police, so they decided to take a stand and a riot broke out. These two men were soon joined by other gay-identified men and women who also experienced the same harassments. So as they were rioting, police reinforcements arrived and they began to beat the crowd away. Let me say that again. When police reinforcements arrived, they began to beat the crowd away. Or should I say, beat the gays away. I don't want us to forget there was a time if a person openly expressed their same-sex attraction in public, they put themselves at risk of being beaten, thrown in jail, or sometimes murdered because of people like us wasn't equipped to separate the person from the practice. So besides loving them, we beat them. Besides protecting them, we harassed them. Besides minding our own business, we murdered them. And besides listening to them, understanding what they're going through, we called them evil and shut them out of families and jobs and shunned them away from the church. So after the first day of this riot, the next day, gay-identified people showed up in numbers larger than the day before. And this riot began to inspire people across the United States to organize and form gay rights. And within 2 years after those riots, gay rights and groups have been formed in nearly every major city in the United States. A lot of people don't know about this because it was almost like they were approved to be gay in secret locations. These areas designated for only gay people in order to protect those that practice homosexuality from being beaten, thrown in jail, and murdered. It became a don't ask, don't tell sin. Remember, there was an official United States policy on military service on non-heterosexual people, don't ask, don't tell, DADT. That was changed on September 20th, 2011. But why is this information so important for the church? What if the person that is in homosexuality wants to come to church, but they remember the trauma of the don't ask, don't tell policy? Although it was a policy in the military, it became an undocumented world policy. What if they also remembered the stories of what others experienced in the church, or they experienced themselves while going to church? When you understand the Stonewall Riots, we learn that gay people had to literally fight their way out of being condemned. My theory is that the gay rights movement started not because they were asking our permission to be gay, but the gay rights movement started because they were asking to be respected first before you dictate how you treat them based on who they decide to be in a relationship with. But in their process of being successful and getting all these laws changed and the church turning a blind eye to homosexuals, the enemy has continued to blind the LGBTQ community and the church on three major things. Number one, being gay is a sin that leads to death. You don't reach a person in homosexuality by affirming them in their sin. And a person in homosexuality can't be reached if they don't allow you to hold them accountable to the word of God. Number two, same-sex attraction is a real emotion. You can't just pray that away and call it a phase. Now, homosexuality is a learned behavior. Same-sex attraction can stem from many different places. Usually starts with some type of trauma, choice, or exposure. The only way to know how this person developed a same-sex attraction is for you to hear their story. Number three, the church is called to love gay-identified people. The church is called to accept gay-identified people. But the church is also called not to allow you to leave the same way you came. The church is a place to sympathize with your struggle, but we are also responsible to give you an answer to your sinful practice. See, I believe the church grew comfortable when the LGBTQ community had a hidden community, but now it's in our faces. What is the church response now? Let me tell you what doesn't work anymore. Saying it's a sin, it's an abomination, it's against the will of God. The boldness of those in the LGBTQ community are seeking more answers, which has put the church in position to become more educated on what homosexuality is in order to show someone the way out And if your only response is it's a sin, it's an abomination, it's against the will of God to those that are practicing homosexuality coming to your church, they are not the ones with the real problem. We are. Which is why I'm so excited to present this podcast, because I get to ask the challenging questions to the church. So church, are we equipped with the knowledge to reach the LGBTQ community? A community that is very bold in protecting its bias towards sin by protesting and shaming anyone who disagrees with them? Or are we prepared to respond? Are we still reacting? Have we gotten so caught up and distracted by how successful they are in their demonic movement that we forgot that the church should be the safest place for them to seek understanding, no matter what they look like, sound like, or who they come with? I believe we can grow to coexist with those in homosexuality without affirming them in their practice, just like we do all the other people that live a lifestyle in sin and never miss a day of church. We have the authority to remind the LGBTQ community that there is no temptation that has overtaken them that is uncommon to man, but God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, and he will always show you a way out. But in order for a person to experience this, the church has to create a safe place for them to attend and receive truth, to activate their faith, to believe change can happen for them. God say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Our churches should be flooded with people seeking the way out of homosexuality. But is there a reason why they're not? Could it be that God is keeping those in the LGBTQ community away from the church until we become well enough prepared on how to respond and not react? He says it in his word that his people perish due to lack of knowledge. If the church doesn't have the knowledge, where else could the LGBTQ community go to seek proper change? I want to give you a glimpse into their world and how it could feel for someone to come to the churches we have in society today. For a man to wake up in the morning and put on women's clothing, or for a girl to wake up and put on men's clothing, or a same-sex couple to walk into your church. They get into their vehicles and they're driving to church. Mentally, they're preparing themselves for everything they know is going to happen. They're preparing themselves to walk into a place where they know you have the right to tell them their lifestyle is wrong. But by the power of God, they still decide to show up. They've prepared themselves for the long stares. They've prepared themselves for the loud whispers of immature believers. They've prepared themselves for someone in church to approach them, or for the pastor to change their sermon to remind them of how much they are not welcome. You can only imagine how mentally exhausting they are before they even get to church, before the pastor stands up to preach. They're mentally drained because everything they thought that would happen, happened. They witnessed the long stares in the parking lot, the loud whispers in the foyer area. So they're sitting there mentally exhausted, and then someone decides to attempt to save their soul and remind them that the lifestyle they are living is a sin, an abomination, and against the will of God. And how dare they walk into the church and disrespect the Lord's house like that, ignoring the fact that they showed up. And we wonder why they're so defensive. After having my first encounter with Christ, my plan was to go to the gay clubs, the gay parks, the gayborhood, as they call it here in Dallas, Texas. I was planning to go to everyone that I was once in relationships with, whether it be friends or girlfriends. I was going to dedicate my life to share with them the love that Jesus has for those that are in homosexuality and how deliverance is real. In prayer over time, God responded to my plan, telling me how it was a great idea for me to go back to old places and share the love of Jesus. But what happens when they start to respond and seek more and they go to church? Is the church prepared to respond to them? Or are we still in positions where we're reacting to their lifestyle? So the Lord redirected me and assigned me to go and prepare the church. He said, I will prepare the hearts of the people in the LGBTQ community. But if I bring the people now, the church will leave them worse off than they came. The church is not yet equipped with the knowledge to show the LGBTQ community the way out. I mean, let's really think about it, people. One of the biggest spiritual attacks in America on today is homosexuality. And one of the safest places for them should be the church. But the church is absent of their presence, not because people battling with homosexuality don't seek God for understanding or deliverance. It's because the church is not equipped to show them the way out. when they show up seeking answers to their homosexual behavior. Let me help you spiritually read a person that changes their outer appearance, whether it be changing clothes or having surgeries to resemble the opposite sex. A girl dressed like a boy is a clear reflection of the internal torment that's going on inside. A boy dressing like a girl is reflecting the internal torment that is going on inside. A person that decides to mutilate their body and have surgeries is a reflection of something that is going on inside. And if all you see is gay, when a girl dressed like a boy, or when a boy dressed like a girl, or when someone decides to have surgeries to resemble the opposite sex, you are misinterpreting their cry for help. Changing clothes and getting surgeries are a sign of internal pain that starts out as a very disturbing same-sex attraction. So, church, do you know how to respond to their silent cry? Or do all we know how to do is call it gay, like those in the LGBTQ community has trained us to see it? The LGBTQ community cannot train you how to reach them. But if you learn how to spiritually interpret what they are trying to articulate, you can get their attention. Everything the LGBTQ community does is saying something to us. And if all we see is gay, when we look at somebody practicing homosexuality, you are not equipped to reach that person. If you try to change a person in homosexuality by only addressing the gay activities, you will start to make an idol out of them changing, and your main goal won't be for them to be healed or made whole. It will be for them to only look like they are. We have to stop approaching people to fix the problem we have with their sin and help them get in the right position to acknowledge the root cause of it. People within the LGBTQ community coming to church, they appreciate you sympathizing with them, but they are also looking for answers outside of what's obvious to them. Let me share a story with you. A young lady I met a few years ago, she got her breasts removed and she reached out to me wanting to understand why she shouldn't take the next step and continue on completing a surgery to remove her private area. During our time together, one of the things she wanted to do was try out things she normally didn't do. So we went to get our nails and toes done. Then we went shopping for girl clothes. During our time, she continued to repeat, "I don't want to wear girl clothes. I just want to try them on to see what it feels like." I continued to let her know that God is here to save souls, not clothes. And it's okay if you're not ready to take the step. And it's okay if you're not ready to take that step. What's most important is that you're acknowledging the areas you will have to change in the process. And I believe, because my patience in not forcing her to wear girl clothes and make it a big deal, she then felt comfortable enough to explain to me why she wanted to purchase girl clothes with me, but not wear them yet. And her explanation blew my mind. When she started to take testosterone to resemble a male, she had gone through so many traumatic experiences during that process, she didn't want to start dressing like a girl until the testosterone started to flush out of her system, because she didn't want people to think she was a male dressed like a girl and put herself through those same traumatic experiences again. And that made so much sense to me, that she had a process to protect herself during her time of transitioning back to truth. If we, the church, really took the time to understand a person's motives coming to church and the steps that they are taking to put themselves in position to make themselves available to truth, it will take a lot of pressure off of you. Homosexuality has been around since Bible times. It's nothing new, but deliverance has become unknown territory. A person that lives a lifestyle of sin will do whatever it takes to feed their sinful desires. But when a person comes to church and they start to seek answers to how to grow past their sinful lifestyle, if the church can't give an answer, I don't think our biggest problem is the person seeking truth. Our biggest problem is we are not educated enough to help that person understand the way out. Remember, people, same-sex attraction is a real emotion. Homosexuality is a learned behavior. Until the next episode, ask yourself, if the LGBTQ community wasn't so loud with the church, still be silent.